keep it real simple. Keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking. But if we want to find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
When your car is broken too, there's only one thing you wanna do. Open your mouth and let it spew. But I am telling you, stay positive.
Come on, come on, come on, y'all. Here we go. Come on, y'all. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is all about staying positive, and we are so thankful that you are watching this morning. We got a good audience in the room. Come on, give them a little love this morning, y'all. Come on. And we, of course, welcome all of you that are watching online or watching now on television, which is crazy to us. So thanks for joining us. We are in a series called Stay Positive. And I think you and I would agree on this. It's not always easy to stay positive. Your car breaks down, that's definitely something that can challenge you. It's happened to our family twice this week already. We're working through those issues. But maybe it's beyond that. It is all the stuff going on in culture, all right? Let's just be honest with you. It's difficult to stay positive when maybe your car is broken down or when you turn on the television and you see things that you go, oh my gosh, not 2021. Surely we're not going to go through all this. One example, I know you know this, I got to talk about it, but again, we never in our wildest dreams would have thought that 2021 would start off with the challenges that we're facing. But here we go again. And it's not just, again, up in Washington. It is also what we face in our community. Man, sometimes it's a neighbor problem or a school problem or just social problems in general. One little child wrote out on their homework assignment, here's what the image looks like. It was like, man, there's social issues everywhere, from racism to bullying to, again, unemployment and poverty. You know that with everything going on in culture, it is difficult to stay positive. No doubt about it, those things are challenging. But what I am learning and what today's message is about is not what's going on in culture. It's going to surprise you, but we're actually going to turn it around and focus not on what they're doing, but on what's happening in your life. And you go, well, Justin, what do you mean? I have discovered about myself, it is one thing to focus on culture. It is another challenge, maybe the most difficult challenge, is to be positive when I think about myself. You go, what do you mean by that? Well, the truth is, when I look in the mirror, I see more things that I struggle with than everything that's going on in culture. And you go, Justin, that's an exaggeration. No, it's really not. I think that may be one reason we love to focus on what's going on in culture or, you know, point the finger at all of those people, because we're going, well, that's their problem and this is their problem, when maybe it distracts you from what's going on inside here. It doesn't take much to trigger insecurity in life. I'll give you one great example this week. We're in the beginning of a year, and we're talking about, again, not focusing on what everybody else is doing, but focusing on yourself. Well, we started this Biggest Loser challenge in the office. We're trying to lose a little weight and get in shape. Well, I can tell you, if you want to trigger some insecurities, just get on a scale in your underwear in front of your friends. Can I get an amen out there somewhere? You're going, you didn't do that. We did, because all of the people in the staff are like, again, not all of the people. Men were with the men, women did not. They just accounted for the 2 or 3 pounds of clothes, but the guys, they all thought everybody's gonna cheat. So they're like, nope, you gotta get down to as much as you can get down to make sure that you weigh in accurately. Pray for me, no pictures, pray for me, all right? Why? Is this a big deal? Well, because honestly, when you start getting into looking at yourself and how you view yourself, it can be a real struggle. It's not the things going on in Washington. It's not the things going on in your neighborhood or in your schools. It's the things going on in your own life. And as these insecurities begin to mount up, it's not easy to stay positive. I mean, you go to the gym. I'll give you a good example again. I walk into the gym and you see some people in great shape and you see your clothes clinging to your midsection like mine was, and you're like, man, I got a long way to go. I never feel good enough. And maybe I'm alone, but I don't think I am. When you're talking about appearance, there's things that I look in the mirror and go, man, where did my hair go, all right? Why, how did I gain all this weight? When I was younger, it was all about the acne that I was going through. I was like, man, how in the world am I gonna get through this? This is the reality for most of us in here. Appearance is a struggle. It's very difficult to stay positive when you think about yourself. I'll give you another one. Preacher. Believe it or not, I have insecurities about even delivering the message that you're hearing today. Man, you could have done it better. You should have said this better. Should have made a smoother transition. Maybe it wasn't deep enough. Maybe it wasn't good enough. Maybe I should have another way of preaching or another scripture I should have focused on. So now it's not just my appearance that I would be feeling insecure about. It would even be what I'm doing for my job, for what I do every Sunday, that I'd get up and communicate a message like, man, you're not even that good of a communicator. So then if you were to move beyond just the way I look and then what I do, I can even go into who I am. As a husband and as a dad, there's many days I feel like a failure. I mess up. I don't do it right. So all I can see is the negative over and over again, from the way I look to what I do for a job to even how I am as a dad or as a husband. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, brother, you know what? You just need to have some more self-confidence, brother. That's what you need. I'm glad you brought that up. Many people talk about this little phrase right here, self-confidence. What I am learning is this, brother, Scripture kind of points us in a different direction, and I am trying my best to live like he calls me to. 1 Corinthians 10:12 in the Message translation is a great reminder for me. Forget about self-confidence. Pretty clear there, right? It's useless, even more clear. But what we need to be working on is cultivating God confidence. Now, you may be asking, what in the world is God confidence? Great question. We understand self-confidence. You need to be self-confident about the way you look and what you do and, again, who you are. But God's going, hey, man, it's really useless. What I want you to do is to be confident in who I am and who I see you as and what I want to do with you in your life. And that's not always easy to do. Now, I'm not an expert, but I'm going to give you a few good reasons on why focusing on yourself is a bad idea, why self-confidence sometimes can be a challenge, and why we need to be more focused on God confidence. We go, well, why would you say that? This is an insight to my life. Maybe you're better than me, maybe you're ahead of me, but let's talk about it. Why I don't like self-confidence so much and why I struggle with that is because, truthfully, my heart is deceitful. You go, what? You're a preacher. You can't say that. Listen, don't look around and don't look at anybody else, but be honest with yourself. So are you, because the Bible says we all are. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says this, the heart is the most deceitful thing there is and desperately wicked. That's including me. No one can really know how bad it is. So if you really develop self-confidence, you got to be careful, because sometimes, most of the time, we're not always straight. And so the Bible's going, hey, putting your confidence in God is way better than putting your confidence in yourself. I'll give you the second reason I can definitely relate to. Happening this week, my flesh is weak. So if I go into self-confidence, I start really recognizing just how weak I am. Matthew 26:41 says this, the spirit wants to do what's right. You've probably seen this scripture, heard it before, but the body is weak. And you go, well, what do you mean, Justin? Great example. I go to give blood this week. We're trying to do good. We're trying to have a great time. I walk in and they go, oh, by the way, there's some snacks over there. And who is there but my mistress? What are you talking about? Little Debbie. I'm like, good night. I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to lose weight. And there is the nutty buddy. I'm like, oh, man, would that be good right now? But I'm like, no, I can't. So here's the deal. Man, my spirit is willing, but boy, my flesh is weak. And maybe you can relate way beyond dieting. You can go, man, I'm trying to do the right thing, but it seems like even when I'm trying, man, I'm still tempted to do the wrong thing. That's why self-confidence can be, again, a trip up in your life. Now, the third thing is, and I think all of us relate to this as well, why self-confidence is it's a struggle for us, and why we need to be in having more of a God confidence is because our behavior is inconsistent. When you start thinking about your life, when you start thinking about the journey that you're on, how many times have you just been up and down? Man, you're going to start a workout, or you're going to start studying your Bible, or you're going to try to do the right thing, but then next thing you know, something happens. Man, I promise you, God, I'm going to not do that again. I am done with that. I will never go back down that road. And then here it comes, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, and there it is, creeping back into your life. Romans 7 says it like this, I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to do. This scripture is a great reminder of why self-confidence can really trip us up. is because we want to do the right thing, but we're inconsistent. Man, we try, but man, it's like, I just don't know if I can do it. Now, to have a little fun and make a little light of the situation, maybe give a little laugh this morning when we need some encouragement, this is what it looks like whenever you're trying to do a diet. Maybe you've been there before and you mess up, right? That's the face you get when you get caught cheating on your diet. I'm going to do the right thing. It's like, uh-oh. Even better than that, this is my favorite picture if you want to talk about that. Look at that little fella's face. It's like, man, I want to do what's right. Man, I want to try to do it. But guess what, man? You get caught doing wrong. And the Bible is full of people just like you and me. And this is why I love God so much. It's because if you want to look at a positive thing, he doesn't give up on us. Psalm 57:7, this is why we move from self-confidence into confidence in God. My heart is confident in you. Not in how good you are, not on how, again, you're going to be able to work through it and stay committed. The truth is we're going, God, I don't know if I could do it. I seem like a failure. Many times I mess up, but God, I am not putting my confidence in my own ability. I am putting my confidence and my trust into you. Now, if you're new and you're trying to figure out how do I do that, that sounds good, Justin. I want to move from self-confidence into God confidence. Well, how do you build confidence? How do you get that in your life? Here's a couple of things I want you to write down. We have notes that you can download on our app if you want to do that, or you can just take out something, write them down, or put them on your phone right now. But this is things that you need to remember when you get out in the real world and you're having a tough week. This is how you develop God confidence. Number one, remember, God is always for you. That's right. Go ahead and say it at home, man. God is always for me. Now, why is this such a challenge for us? Because if you're like me and you grew up in church, or if you grew up in the South, like many of the people watching right now, you're going, man, I get it. Maybe we have some friends up in North that are watching and they're going, man, I don't really know what you're talking about. Well, in the South, the church can be a little tough sometimes. Matter of fact, it can be really tough. Most of the time, I thought of God not as being for me, but it has him being against me, that he was mad at me because of the mistakes I've made. This picture kind of gives me an idea of what I thought God was looking at. Look at that face right there, pointing his finger at me. He's mad at me. And if it wasn't God that was pointing his finger at me, was mad at me, it was my preacher when I got to church. This is a great cartoon on Santa Claus right here. This is the way I feel every week. And some people say, well, unless I have that feeling that I'm not doing anything, I'm not going to church, then you got the wrong picture of who God is. Because as you look at Scripture, and as you begin to understand how much he loves you, you will understand he is not mad pointing his finger at you. He is literally trying to love you and remind you of how special you are. It's like us as parents. When I start thinking about my life as a parent, I never want bad for my kids. I got 3 great kids. I don't want to catch them in something wrong. I don't want to punish them. My job really is to bless them, to encourage them, to help them succeed, to really put a smile on their face and help them to be full of joy. Now, I told you at the beginning of the message, we had some car issues and some breakdowns this week. My daughter's car is having some trouble. My son's truck was having some trouble. So we got together at my brother's house, and we fixed his brakes, and we worked and changed his oil. And here's a picture of me and my brother and my son, Ian. And look at the smile on his face. Because he was like, Dad, you fixed it. Uncle John, you helped me make it happen. It brought joy into his life. And as a parent, there's nothing better than that. I'm not mad at him. I wasn't wanting to punish him. I'm like, man, I want to celebrate that. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Like a good parent. Like someone said, man, I am for you. This is who God is. I am on your side. I want you to be full of joy. I want you to succeed. I am not mad at you. I love you, and I have a great plan for you. So if you have hope of climbing out of a mountain of debt, he's for you. If you want to reconcile a broken relationship, he is for that, and he is for you. And if you're trying to start a new business, man, I'm going to turn a new page and do something new and fresh, guess what? God is for you. So Hebrews reminds us, don't throw away this confident trust we have in the Lord. Why? Because remember the great reward it brings you. This is the challenge. Put your confident trust, not in your own ability, but in the God who created this universe and who loves you and has a great plan for you. That is helping you develop God confidence versus self-confidence. Now, the second thing I want you to write down is this. God always wants to help you. Now, I know some of you are going, I don't feel like that. It's been a struggle. Trust me, when you look at the character of who God is, and when you look at your life and you look back at how he has been there and done things for you, we have a God who loves you, who cares for you, and he wants to help you. Hebrews 13 says it like this. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be, what's the last word there? Afraid. Now, why do I want you to say that last word? Many of you are scared of God. You still think he's mad at you. He's pointing his finger. I'm telling you, he is for you. And here's the second thing. He wants to help you. So when you begin to say with confidence, God, you are my helper. You're on my side. You're going to get me through this. It's not just trying to be positive. It is a fact taken from the word of God itself to remind you he is on our side. He will be there to help us. I told you before, it's kind of like a parent illustration for me is because, again, I always thought of God being kind of pointing his finger and mad. And maybe one of the reasons why is because as a parent, maybe we mess up sometimes. We're not so great at always trying to encourage and always trying to love. We lose our temper. We get frustrated. So then we begin to think that's the way God is with us, is that he loses his temper and he gets frustrated with us and he's done with us. I'm telling you, man, that's not the God of the New Testament. That is not the God that you read where he continues to forgive, not just once, but over and over and over again. Great examples all throughout Scripture, including when you see people who even denied Jesus in the moment of the most tense things going on in his life, where Jesus is going to the cross and facing death, and people were leaving him and denying him. Those are the very same people just a few days later that he looked at them and said, man, you're the ones that are going to build the church. You're the ones that I forgive, and I can't wait to see what you do. They ran and deserted him at one point, but he's the very God who chose them to build the church, to help us, to be reminded on a day like today, he does not give up. He is our helper. So don't be afraid. Trust him. You know, my kids, I'm talking about kids and the idea of seeing God in a different light. I thought about this illustration this past week because Ian was like, man, my truck's going bad. Man, my brakes are sounding bad. I don't know if it's going to stay on the road or not. Just make sure, yeah, Dad, you're close in case I need you. Hannah was another good example. She called. Her car broke down again. She said, Dad, it's just dying. And, she'll be in traffic, and then it'll just shut down. And what I thought about was, like, if our kids are in trouble, and you can relate if you're a parent or a grandparent, and they call you, and they're going, hey, man, I am really, my car's broke down, or when they were little, Dad, I'm stuck in a tree, I'm hanging from a tree, or even worse, I'll give you one right here, ran across this picture, if your kid was in this situation right here, do you just go, dummy, should have never got your head stuck in there? Or do you go, no, I want to help. I'll do whatever I can to try to help you. Or like if my kid was broke down, if Hannah calls today and said, Dad, my car's broke down on the side of the road, I'm in, Shreveport, I don't know what to do. I'm calling Angie, how's Hannah's report card? Because I'm not going to help her unless her report card's good. Or if Ian's car breaks down the side of the road, you know what I'm saying? They're going, hey, what's going on, Dad? I need your help. No, I'm not going to help you. Ian, did he clean his room? Angie, is his room clean? Because if his room's clean, I'm going to go help him. This is the way that we view God. We're like, man, we get ourselves stuck in a lot of mess. And then we begin to think, well, God's not going to help me. Man, I got into this, and I don't know what I'm going to do. No, just like a good parent. Just like a parent that says, man, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to help you. And when you're in trouble, don't be afraid. I'm going to rescue you. That's the God that we have. Psalm 46:1 says this, God is our refuge and our strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Now, why do I say all of that this morning? Because many of you are in trouble this morning. Could be finances. Could be a relationship, could be a health situation. Hey, man, you need to be reminded. Man, he is your refuge. You can run to him for safety. You can run to him for help. He will be there. He is not just sometimes there, ever present help. He doesn't leave. He doesn't run away. Man, he has our back. That's why God confidence is way better than self-confidence. It's because we have a God who promises not to run away from us, but to run to us when we're in trouble. Now, the third thing I want you to write down is this. God is still working on me. And that me includes you. So when you start thinking about how do you develop God confidence, understand this. You're not there yet, and I'm not there yet. And you can have confidence in the fact that God wants to continue to make you more like him. So when you're battling with the ups and downs and going through the highs and the lows and you feel like a failure and you make a mistake and you're afraid God's mad at you and you're not sure he's really going to keep, you know, helping you, let me tell you something. The God that I know and read about and trust and have a relationship with reminds me on a daily basis, I ain't done with you yet. So how in the world could you give up now? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, how in the world could God use somebody like me? I say it every Sunday. I say it every day of my life. God, how in the world can you use me? But somehow, miraculously, somehow, some way, God does exactly that. He comes in, he reminds you, man, I can use you because I have a plan for you. I created you and I can't wait to use even the mistakes to do something awesome out of them to point people to me. That's the way our God is. That's the way he wants to remind you that he loves you and cares for you. Philippians 1:6 says it like this. Being confident of this, this is another great reminder. Confidence, not in who we are, but in who he is. But we can be confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You go, well, what does that really say to me? Well, I'll tell you what it says to me. Is that on my bad days when I make mistakes or, man, I'm really not who I should be or I'm short with my wife or short with my kids or not kind like I'm supposed to be. I'm not even Christ-honoring. I want to be, but, man, I mess up. I got to be reminded that my confidence is not in myself but in a God who says, man, I ain't done with you yet. Matter of fact, Steve Harvey, I don't know, it's been a few years ago. I was watching TV and I ran across this TV special. Here's a picture of what it looks like. It was actually, the title is what got me. You've seen him on Family Feud. He's got a, you know, a talk show. But at the bottom of this, it was, don't trip, he ain't through with me yet. Can I get an amen on that? That sounded like a little weak amen, but that's all right. I'll try that again. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. See, that sounded a little stronger because why? Don't trip because God is not finished on you either. Now, what I loved about this was a comedy special he did, and for the first time ever, he was doing it in front of a Christian audience, all Christian audience. He had never really done that before, and if you know anything about Steve Harvey has a cussing problem like your pastor does occasionally, and when he got up and he said, hey, listen, let me just tell y'all right now, don't trip, because y'all need to be praying I don't cuss when I get up and do this comedy show, and they all laughed and laughed, and he was like, I ain't kidding. And I kind of laughed, and I thought, man, I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate him getting up and going, listen, man, because God's not finished with me yet. And this is the thing. So many times in Christianity, we are quick to point the finger. We're quick to look at culture, like I was saying at the beginning, go, man, this is their problem. This is what they need to do. And if that would happen, and this would happen, and this is the thing. Maybe we shouldn't be looking so hard at culture. Maybe we should remember that culture is made up by our lives and the way we do things. And maybe we should say, God, I'm not confident in who I am. I am confident in who you are and who you're making me to become. And if I keep trusting you and I keep putting my trust in who you are and what you say and what you're about, it will be amazing when I look back at what you did in my life. Now, how do I say that and why do I say that? Is because I was doing a little search and I was looking for the comedy show. I was actually going to put a little clip in right here of Steve Harvey doing that comedy. But I was really encouraged when I ran across these next few clips. One of the clips is that I'm about to show you is Steve Harvey at the end of every one of his shows, whether he's taping his talk show or he's taping Family Feud, he gives a motivational, spiritual encouragement to the audience. And the good news for you is I've grabbed a clip from him. Because as we're talking about staying positive and we're talking about making a difference, this is just one reminder of why negativity can just knock you down. It can trip you up. So to encourage you, to remind you that you're not alone, that we're going to get through this, and here is some ways to get through it. How do we stay positive? Developing that God confidence and trusting in the fact that he ain't through with us yet. Watch this.
You can protect yourself from negativity. And that's what stops most people, negative thoughts. You can coat your mind from negativity. It's a real simple exercise to do. I do it every morning before I walk out the door. So I walk out as a positive person. You know, I get tired sometimes. That's different from being negative, because I get mentally drained from my job at times. But to coach your mind from negativity, the way you can put a coating around your mind is with one simple thing: gratitude. Gratitude erases negativity. I'm gonna show you how this works. If you wake up in the morning and you start having negative thoughts, man, this ain't my day. I woke up on the wrong side of bed. I'm tripping, I just don't feel myself. Every time you feel, in the middle of the day, if you feel yourself doing that, stop. Just stop for a second. And start going over in your mind everything you have to be grateful for. Not everything you want. Everything you already have. Because what you have is substantial. You just haven't gone over the list and taken inventory in a long time. But the fact that you can walk, that's a blessing. The fact that you woke up, that's another blessing. The fact that you can see, think, reason, that's another blessing. The fact that you can go somewhere and get yourself something to eat, that's another blessing. The fact that you can go and turn the key and call someplace home, that's another blessing. The ability to dream is a blessing. The fact that you have an opportunity to get it right is another blessing. The fact that you're beautiful, that's another blessing. The fact that you have any measure of health, that's another blessing. And I'm just talking to you, I don't even know you. I could give you 50 things you ought to be grateful for right now. I don't even know you. Start coating your mind with gratitude. It'll change everything for you. God is good, man. You ought to give him a chance to work in your life. Thank y'all for coming.
Come on, man. Give it up for old Steve Harvey, huh? And I can tell you ain't quite sold yet. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. Well, I got one more for you. Speaking about that process, speaking of that idea of going, all right, God, I know you're not finished with me yet, and I need to be reminded of that. I pulled one more because I think you need it today. I know I do. He ain't through with you, so quit tripping and try your best to say, God, I want to be grateful, and I want to renew my mind, and I want to start putting the right stuff in. And here's Steve again to remind us of exactly why and how to do that. Watch this.
But quit tripping during the process. Oh, Lord, why me? You ain't the only one. Oh, Lord, why me? You ain't the only one. Oh, Lord, why I lose my job? You ain't the only one unemployed. Oh, Lord, why he leave me? You ain't the first chick got left. This might not even be your last time getting left. Pull yourself together and quit tripping, because you in the process. God is processing you. He ain't through with you. If he was through with you, you would not wake up in the morning. He gonna fix it. Everything is wrong. First of all, let me tell you this right here. Why are you tripping? I look back on my life at all that I've been through. So the stuff I'm currently going through, I have built up enough reservoir that living in the car taught me that this ain't it. So the things I'm going through now, I know this ain't it. That he gonna come get me in a minute. So all I gotta do is sit tight. I ain't in a bad place. Now, I ain't where I wanna be, but the spot I'm in is better than where I was. I ain't homeless. So what I'm going through right now, y'all don't know, I got some challenges. Don't you people think when you get famous or rich that your problems is over. Oh, they got a whole new set of them for you. They got some stuff you ain't seen. Biggie wrote a song, said one time, more money, more problems. I got to tell you something, that boy would never lie. But I'll tell you the truth right now. The problems I got right now, I take them. Because the problems I had when I was homeless, I don't want them no more. But now, God can't give you what you want, because you want to hold on to what you got. You all in the way. Now you telling him how to bless you. You can't tell God how to bless you. It's a simple process. The only reason I'm telling you this, because this is how I made it. I just do me. I'm just being me. I stay uniquely who I am, because you are okay just the way you are, because God made you uniquely who you are. He wanted you to be just like you are. I mean, really, man, if you look at life and just step outside for a minute and quit tripping. it really ain't no problem. That God I serve that done this for me, he'll do the same thing for you.
Come on, one more time. Why do I want you to get excited, clap for it? Is because, man, I don't know about you, but I need the reminder that God ain't done with you. You're uniquely you. He has a plan for you. You are in the process. Don't you give up. Man, start working more on the positive side of things versus the negative side of things. Don't develop self-confidence, but develop God confidence. And even with Steve saying that right there, here's the thing. He's saying the reason I am okay with me is because I know that God made me, shaped me exactly the way I am. And he has a plan for me. I don't know if you know Steve's story, but he was homeless, lived in his car for a long time. And he talks about that journey and that process about struggle, you know, the struggle and the difficulty. And I started listening to it and kind of walking through, and he's just one example. I mean, many of you maybe feel like you're in the same situation. You're going, man, how in the world can I get through this? How in the world am I going to overcome it? I can tell you, it's not by saying, man, I'm good enough. Doggone it, people like me. I'm going to make it. No, it's like, no, you know what, man, my only hope is God. My only hope is a relationship with Jesus Christ. My only hope is to put all I have into him so that he can remind me on those bad days when I'm inconsistent. Man, I got your back. When I'm afraid, man, don't you be afraid. I'm going to be there with you. Man, when you feel alone, man, I'm with you. You don't have to worry. I'm going to walk with you even through the most challenging times. That's the scripture. That's what God says, and it's available to each and every one of us. Steve Harvey, all the way down to Justin Hagler, down to whoever you are watching today. So would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you remind us that we are in the process. That God, you are really wanting us to become more and more like you. And for some of us, God, that starts first and foremost with a relationship with you. Man, they've done it their own way. They've made mistakes, and they've really are beating themselves up over those mistakes. And I pray that today they would just pause, recognize that you're speaking to them today, that you love them, that you care for them, that you have an awesome plan for them, and you want to put them going in the right direction. But it starts by saying, Jesus, I need you in my life. And when we say that, God, you promise to come in. If we'll just admit we've made mistakes, if we believe that you are who you say you are, and if we'll commit ourselves to you, you promise, as simple as ABC, to come in and change us. And then as we make that commitment, God, that it would be a daily commitment, an hourly, minute-by-minute commitment for some of us. God, I know you're not through with me, so keep helping me. Keep with me, God. I need you. And you promised never to leave us nor forsake us, as the scripture said. Lord, if someone's watching today, let it be personal for them today. I pray that they would know that we got their back, but more importantly, you got their back. So stay positive in the process. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere one time? Come on. See, short and sweet, man. Are you all right with that 30-minute stuff? Come on, y'all feeling all right? All right, good. Yeah, somebody like, no, I need more. You got it online, baby. Go back and watch it. You can do that, all right? We love you, dude. Thank you for being a part of what's going on in the Assembly Church. We're fixing to go in the post show right now. We got more to talk to you right there. We even have call-ins. It's your chance to call into us and email us through Facebook or whatever it is and talk to us about what you got out of the message or what God's teaching you. I got a special friend fixing to zoom in and talk to me right now about him watching the message and what he got out of it. So hang around with us for the post show. Thanks again for watching. Until next week, what do we say? Peace. Thanks for watching.